thought, wow, if I hit that thing, it just sound like a cat dying. But some people can make it make do things. So, amen. Amen. All right, Proverbs chapter 21 this evening. Proverbs chapter 21. We looked at the first verse last Sunday night. We're going to pick up where we left off and just go a little ways down through here. It's verse by verse type study. Again, there's nothing new under the sun, as I said this morning, and there's nothing in that we're going to see tonight that probably most of you don't know. But knowing something is one thing, doing something is different. And I just want to encourage you again as we study the book of Proverbs. Again, as I've said before, sometimes when we do books, it seems like people get a little bored. And listen, every word of this book is for a reason. There's not one word in this book that God put in here for just no reason. And I want to encourage us to, as when God says something, it's not just to somebody, you know, well, that don't apply to me. Well, yeah, it does. And I know we got to rightly divide. I know Old Testament, you got to think about the nation of Israel into the first part of the New Testament. You got to think about the church, different things of that. I know that. But the book of Proverbs is for anybody and for all people. If you want the mind of Christ, if you want knowledge and wisdom, this is where you get it. So I hope, again, that it's been a help. Hope it will be a help. And I promise you, as I've said so many times, you're not going to get everything just the first go-round. Yeah, the more you dig, the more you'll find. And so just don't breeze over it. Keep reading it, keep reading it, and keep reading it. So let's pray, and we'll dive in and see what the Lord has for us tonight. Father, we sure love you. Sure thank you, Lord, again, for the privilege, God, just to be back in this place. Thank you, Lord, for the good songs. Thank you for the good fellowship. God, just thank you for this precious book and your spirit, Lord. It'd be all in vain without you. And, God, I just pray again tonight, Lord, would you please meet with us. God, if you don't speak, if you don't show, Lord, I know, God, that we're going to leave this place with no help. But, God, I'm glad that your word will never return void. And, God, you promised, Lord, where there's two or three, you'll be in the midst. And, God, I know you're here. I've already felt you stir my soul tonight, Lord, and I pray, God, as we come together one more time like this, God, that we'll just leave this place wanting to do more for you than we've ever done before. And we'll thank you for all you've done. And, Lord, we sure are looking forward to the day that we see you. And we'll praise you for all that you've done. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 1. If you were with us last Sunday, I told you this is one of my favorite verses in the book of Proverbs. I've had to pray this verse. I've recited this verse. I've held on to this verse many times because as I tried to put forth, and we're not going to go back through all those verses that we looked at last Sunday, but if you don't know it or not tonight, God is able. And God is bigger than any problem. And he's greater than any of your needs. And we need to get that settled in your soul. And the Bible says there, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And as the rivers of water, he turneth it whatsoever he will. God can do great things. God can take us, you know, and so many times, and I've been guilty of this. I've said it so many times. And sometimes it's right, sometimes it's wrong. But, you know, a lot of times we count God out. We look at something pops up, especially with our government and the craziness that goes on today. You think, well, that'll never happen. Well, God's able, amen. And God's still able to bring this country back around, and I'm not counting us out. I'm just asking God to get the church fired back up so we can get out and do what we're supposed to do. And it's all about the Lord anyway. It's his work. So I praise the Lord that he is able, and I don't care how big, how bad, how ugly, how strong, how rich any man is, God can turn that man's heart. And I've heard it, I've heard story after story, and I'll testify to this story. The church I pastored in Taylorsville, we were sort of landlocked. We needed some land. The man that owned the land behind us, he was very adamant that he would never sell that land to, and this is the way he put it, to that church. He hated God, I believe, and he hated the church. And I said, well, God's able. And again, when a man says he will never, my God's bigger. And just let me make a long story short. Guess who owns the land now? Not that man. That church does. God was able to, and he did it in a very unusual way. He scared that man to death one night. And that man knew that God wanted him to sell that land when God was done with him. I don't know if he's saved or not. It doesn't matter as far as what I'm trying to say. It doesn't matter that he's saved. I wish he was saved. Hope he is saved. But what I'm saying tonight, I don't care if it's a saved man or a lost man. God can turn that heart whichever way it will. And friend, you're going to need that. You need to put that in your arsenal, because you need to say there's going to come across your plate that you're going to have to go back to that place where you realize that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. It's not, you know, God's not done. God's still working. So I praise the Lord for that truth. So let's look into verse number 2. Let me just throw this out before we start down to these verses. Look up here real quickly. I need to poll you right quick. How many of you tonight believe every word of this Bible God gave? You believe every word of it's true? You believe everything he said is right? Hang on to that thought. Just want to make sure. We're going to look at a verse here in a little bit that I want to make sure you know. Y'all going to start looking through the verses, so I figure out what we're going to see. But we'll get there in a minute. I just want to go and get that out. I want to make sure you understood that you said it. I didn't say it. But we'll find it here in a minute. All right, verse number 2 this evening. The Bible says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. Every way. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Not just some ways. Every way. You know, when a man does something, we live in, again, that weird day. Well, it doesn't matter who wins the ball game. I have never went out on a baseball field. I've never gone out on the football field and said, let's lose. I always taught the idea is to win. I was also taught that if you're going to fight, you don't fight to lose. You want to win. Hello? Anybody in here with ambition, I want to be a loser. Every way in a man's heart, in his own way, he thinks he's right. And that's us too. A lot of times we'll get something in our brain, we'll get something in our thought pattern. It could be as far wrong as wrong could be, but you think it's right. Right? Listen to this. Why would a man strap a bomb on his chest, go into a place of business, and blow him and everybody else up? Now, we would think that's crazy. Is there anybody here that don't think that's crazy? If you do, Brother Martin used to see you. But don't that sound crazy, though? That a man would strap a bomb on and go into some place and blow it up and kill him and everybody else. Why in the world, preacher, would somebody do that? Because in his mind, he feels like what he's doing is right. That's the reason I ask us over and over and over again, why do you do what you do? Why do you believe what you believe? And it all goes back to this book. You ought to be able to put scripture to why you believe. And sometimes I wonder if we care what we believe. We're just going through emotion. No, you ought to know what you believe and why you believe it. And that's what the Bible says here. It says, again, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, his eyes. Again, I look back and think, man, that guy there is, you know, I hate my cell phone most of the time, but sometimes it's good to have a cell phone, because I'll see somebody doing something really dumb, and I think, I'm going to video this. I can't believe this guy even thought that, but these people do crazy things. Anybody ever seen that thing out there on the web about why men don't live as long as women? I mean, I've seen these pictures of men doing some stupid things, but then I think, wait a minute, I think I've done some of those stupid things, you know? It seemed pretty good when I was doing it, but I look back and I think, Lord help, I should have never done that. Brother Jerry, remember that camping trip where you had to stand out in the river and catch them as they went by? Somebody ought to kick me and said, preacher, are you that stupid? We should have never done that. We'll never do it again, as long as I'm in charge. But we do stupid things, you know. But it seemed right in my mind. I thought, wow, this is pretty neat. But, you know, that's just the way it is. But every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But then here's the latter part. But the Lord pondereth the heart. And let me just say this. You know, we take those verses a lot of times and we always apply it to the unsaved. Let's draw it back into us. God pondereth our reasoning. You can do the right thing for the wrong reason and it's all in vain. It really is. Why do you teach a Sunday school class? Why do you run a bus route? Why do you do anything?
What's the heart motive? God pondereth our hearts of why we're doing what we do. And I hope the Lord knows that we're doing it because we love Him. And we thank God that He done what He did for us. So, again, that's why we do what we do. Verse number 3 this evening. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. There's another verse that's over in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. It says, to obey is better than sacrifice. And you know, that goes back to what David was talking about, that faith and works things. There's a lot of people, even in good Baptist churches, they believe that their works is what's getting them where they are. God says it's better to obey. Obey what? Him. Obey this book. Listen, the easiest thing to do, and I know when we think in our day, you know, we don't kill doves and goats and all that. We don't sacrifice that way. But, man, some of us feel like, whoo, boy, it really sacrificed when I folded that dollar bill up and put it in the offering plate. That was such a sacrifice. God would rather you obey Him than give a dollar. All right, I don't have to give a dollar no more. That's between you and the Lord. But He says it's better to obey than to sacrifice. And God would rather us not sin than to sin and have to do a sacrifice and say, I'm sorry. That's truth. It's better to obey. It's better just do right than to try to sacrifice and get our fellowship and our way back with the Lord is the way that we feel like sometimes. So, verse number 4 this evening, a high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked. Notice the next two little words is, that's the big one, sin. That pride, that ego, that haughty spirit, God says is sin. And God despises sin. And I know tonight every one of us think, well, that's not us. We don't have that high look. We don't have that proud heart. And surely we're not plowing of the wicked. But again, God ponders your heart. That little bus youngin' that peed all over my wife for many, many times. That little bus youngin' that sang, that poor girl. I don't even know where she's at today. But she was one of our first bus kids. She peed all over my wife. I mean, all over her. 3-4 years old. She cussed my wife like a man would have cussed my wife. I mean, she was just rough. Bit my wife. She'd have bite marks. My wife would sit there and just hold her to keep her still. This is a pride look. This is a haughty spirit. This is that ego. I wouldn't want that youngin' in my church. I'm glad God don't talk that way. You're only what you are by the grace of God. Sometimes we think of that high look, that haughty spirit, that pride, we think of it as something, you know, but sometimes it could be some little thing in our heart. And it usually is little things. You ever got a little pea gravel in your shoe? It's amazing how that little old pea gravel can cause so much trouble, ain't it? Same thing in us. Sometimes we'll let something get in us. It'll bother us. God says when we get that pride, that haughty spirit there, God says, it's sin. What do you do with sin? You better get rid of it. Let the Lord take care of it. Verse number 5 this evening. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to the plentiness, but of everyone that is hasty only to want. We find two people in that verse. We find a diligent man and we find a hasty man. A diligent man is a man that rises every day and looks for opportunity, that constantly is pushing forward to do more, to achieve more, to want to give more to the things of God, to the work of God. He's diligently seeking how to take care of his home and his family. He's a man that looks beyond today. He's looking to see what he can do to increase the work of God, the things of God. That's the diligent man. He's worried about worry might not be the right word, but he's concerned about, he's wanting to see bigger and better things. He's constantly getting up every day, hitting the nail on top of the head, just push, not giving up, not laying back, not lazy. And he sees, and look what God says about this man. He says the thoughts of the diligent tend only to the plenteous. Look, sometimes, and I know it's all of us, sometimes you think, what's the use? Seems like the more I do, the less I get. It seems like I get knocked down. Seems like everybody else has got stuff that I ain't got, yada, 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 yada. I promise you, there's a payday someday. I promise you, the riches of God will outweigh any riches you get in this world. So just keep pressing on. Look at the bigger picture. See what the down the road is going to be because Jesus is coming. That's the diligent man. But then there's the hasty man. You know what the hasty man is? The get-rich-quick guy. What can I do to fill my flesh desire and not have to do anything to get it? That's the hasty man. They want that quick fix. They want that quick dollar. They don't want to. All they care about is themselves. And look what God says about them. But everyone that is hasty only to want. That man will never be satisfied. That man will never achieve what he desires. So I wonder tonight, are we diligent or are we hasty? I used to teach my young people when I was a youth pastor, because I, you know how people push. You ain't a car salesman, are you, Brother Tony? Okay. Anybody a car salesman? Man, you got to buy it today. Don't ever make a hasty decision. The only thing I know that you need to do, and it shouldn't be hasty because you ought to know the Lord's in it, is when God says something. We were playing with the new projector thing today, and I wanted to see what it looked like, so I had to find a video of some sort. So I went back in the library and found that movie, Sheffy, and we was playing that, and Brother Dave was up here, and we was talking about the movie. One of my favorite parts of that movie is when Sheffy comes on there, and there's a family there, and their horses died, and he says, some things you don't have to pray about, and he gives them that his own horse. That's not a hasty decision. That's just a walking in the Spirit and letting God use you. So, again, God shows two people there, the hasty man and the diligent man. Verse number 6 this evening. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. Over and over we've seen that truth through the book of Proverbs. It pays to do right. You're not going to outsmart God. You're not going to do something and think that you're going to get a by with it because God knows. Everybody else might not know, but God knows. And you know. And again, he says there, the getting of treasure by a lying tongue. You know God hates liars. You know how I know? It says it. The devil's a what? A liar. Not only a liar, he's the what? Father of it. Maybe I should or maybe I shouldn't do this. Let's go ahead and do it. This will be fun. Anybody here ever told a lie? You never told a lie? Well, then why didn't you raise your hand? I just wanted to know. I thought, wow, they've never told a lie. There you go. Y'all just told a lie. That she didn't tell a lie. They're going to get mad at the preacher because they're picking on the... Well, it's just a little lie. Sure it is. A lie is a lie, isn't it? God hates a liar. Then why do we lie? It's so sorry, sinful flesh. It's just a decaying old piece of junk. So, but the Bible says there that the getting of treasure by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seeketh. What are they seeking? Death. I ain't seeking death. Well, that's what it brings. So, just a warning there. Verse number 7. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. Again, over and over and over, we've seen that same truth. And again, right will always come out. I promise you, right will always win. And that's just a simple truth. Verse number 8 this evening. Another way. The way of man is forward,
and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right.
I think the biggest part that I can say about that verse is there's a way. Right or wrong, there's a way. And it's about a choice. Which way will you choose? And people say, well, I couldn't help it. Yes, you can. There's nothing that happens that you couldn't help. You made a choice of which way you would go. So choose the right way, and it'll come out right. So that's just another simple truth. All right, before we read the next verse, everybody believe the Bible? Everybody believe this, every word's pure, true, and God meant it for a reason?
Amen.
All right, read verse 9. I'll get behind the pulpit. Verse 9 says, and again, let me ask you, most of you didn't read the verse. Why would God say this? Why would God... Did you say Rhonda? Anybody else want to testify? This verse is in the Bible for Matt and Hannah. They're getting married. And Chris and Rhonda, they're getting married. Or not Rhonda. Yeah, Rhonda. My brain went dead. No, what? This verse right here in our day and time is probably one of the most offensive verses that you could ever say. Anybody ever heard this verse preached? I haven't. I've heard it read, but I've never heard it preached. Well, let's read it just in case you ain't got a clue what I'm talking about. The Bible says, God says, the same God says, I love you. It's the same God that said this. Ladies, now men, y'all say amen here in a minute. I'll do like this. When Russell goes down the downbeat, me and y'all say amen. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. All right, men. Y'all are all in trouble. Why in the world would God put that in the Bible? Anybody ever read that verse before? Did you ever stop and think, why in the world did God put that in the Bible? Write down Rhonda right beside of it. No. That's what Tony said. You got notes in your Bible? Just write that down there beside of your notes. No, but why would God put that in the Bible? Apparently it's true. God said, it's better. Everybody do like this. Is it true? All right, let's dissect just a little bit, and I'm going to run on out of this thing. Now, this is what God says. God says, it's better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. God says that a man would rather live on top of a house with all the elements of nature, with no comforts at all, with the darkness and the heat. And God says that a man, it's better to dwell in the corner. Even in the corner. Can you see him? Can you see Tony? Tony's over in the corner. Please don't hit me. No, I'm kidding. God says it's, a man says it's better to live up on a housetop in a corner with all the elements and all the discomforts and all the lack of luxury than to live in a house. Now, what did he say about, forget the woman part. God says something about that house. It wasn't just any house. It's a white house. God says that it's better for a man to live on top of a house in the corner of the roof with all the elements and all the discomforts and all that than to live in a house, a wide house, a house with air conditioning, big screen TVs, luxuries. See, those things don't change a thing. A big house don't fix it. The new car won't fix it. Than to live with a woman, a brawling woman. And women, I know, and ladies, listen to me. I hope you've never felt this way from this preacher. I hope I've never preached that way. I know there are preachers that make women feel second class. That could be the furthest from my mind. Because I believe that God made a woman just perfectly as God wanted to make a woman. As I told Matt and Hannah today, God made her to meet his needs, to make him complete. And ladies, you've got such a place. You've got such an influence. You're raising children. You're keeping the home. You're taking care of your husband. You're meeting his needs. But our world today would not ever say that. The world would say that you're equal to a man. That's not what God said. To be honest, ladies, why would you want to be one of us? You've got a higher place, I believe, than the man. But on that same token, as much of an influence as a godly lady has, we're going to finally get there to that Proverbs 31 woman. We ain't there yet, but we'll get there. And God speaks highly of this woman. He says, who can find her? Thank God I found one. I'm not ashamed. She ain't here. If she was here, I'd say, amen, I found her. She ain't perfect. None of us are. But I believe she wants to serve God and live for God, and I thank God for her. And ladies, again, you've got such an influence. You've got such a place. You've got such a testimony if you live for God and do what God would have you to do. But with that, an ungodly woman can be so destructive. And that's the reason I believe God would say that verse. That a woman, a brawling woman. Now, my wife's got so mad at me, sometimes she'd like to beat me, I'm sure. But a woman that's... And I don't want to offend you ladies. And we're dealing with ladies, fellas, right now. So God shows forth a woman, a godly woman, with that meek and spirit, that loving, kind, meek spirit. But I don't know how our world's built up girls today and ladies today to be the opposite of that. I don't know if you noticed when we were studying back in, I'm going to say, chapter 9, 10, 11, 12 through there, when it talked about that loud woman and how dangerous she was and what she wanted and what she was trying to get. That's that brawling woman. That's that woman that, and ladies, please don't take this wrong, that won't shut up. That's just got to be heard. It's got to show their way. God has an order. I didn't make it up. I didn't vote on it. God just says this is the way it ought to be, and I say amen. But it's not a degradation to a woman. It's not. I promise you, ladies, if you'll look through this book and find what God says about a godly woman, thank God for you. But with all of that, an ungodly woman, a hateful woman, is so, so destructive. And God's put that verse in there saying a man would rather live on top of a house in a corner with all the elements and all of that than live in a luxury home with a woman that won't shut up, constantly pushing, a brawling woman. Now, let's go back to the first question. Everybody believe this book's true? Everybody believe every word of it? That's just as real as John 3:16. And again, ladies, please, 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 please. That's not a verse to say God's against you. God's for all of us. And God, the home will run not without any problems. I'm not saying that. But there is a right way that things run. I told a man this one time. I was trying to witness to him. It didn't go over real well. He was a mechanic. I'm not a mechanic. I know enough of keep my cars running somewhat, sort of, but I'm not a mechanic by no means. But I was trying to get down on his level. And I said, I ain't going to name his name by no means, but I said, listen, you're a mechanic. You know how this stuff works. I said, if I go out there to my car and I take this spark plug wire off and take this spark plug wire off and I put this one where that one was and that one where this is, what's going to happen? I said, will it run? He says, yeah, it'll run, but it won't run good. Same thing in our lives. When things aren't where they're supposed to be and they're not doing as they're supposed to do, they don't run right. But, buddy, when all the wires are in the right place and everybody's on the right page and we're all marching to the same drum, she'll run like a clock. So, everybody good?
Amen.
Everybody all right? All right. Hallelujah. What'd you learn tonight? Tony Rupert's in trouble. That's what I learned tonight. I would say go home with me, but you're not going home with me. We're just about done this evening. Do what? She's sick. Hey, honey, she's watching. She is. She's watching. She watched this morning. She knows. I love her. She loves me. All right, verse number 10. She just knew I was going to preach on that verse and she wasn't coming. No, I'm kidding. Hey, honey, love you. Mean it, yeah. All right, let's finish up. Verse 10. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. What a sad verse. The soul. Did you notice that word? The soul. What's important tonight? Is it not the soul? The body is made up again of soul, spirit, and body, right? That's who we are. What's the body going to do? It's going to die. It's going to go to the ground. What's the spirit going to do? It belongs to God. It's going back. But the soul, that's something that's dependent on what you do and what I do. And God says here that the soul of the wicked, that's how desperate it is. That's how polluted it is. Of the wicked desireth. That's all they want is evil. I listened to a little bit of news this week and I don't understand. I don't know if we're ever going to come out of this thing of the flow that we're going. Those two young boys up in Canada that's on a killing spree, that's somebody's son. He used to run around and play ball. And now there's something in him that is so evil that it's nothing to him to kill somebody. That's where we're at in our society. That's what damage has been done because of sin and the lack of God in the home, the lack of God in our countries. And again, the Bible says, out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What's in a man? You ever look at I saw the pictures of them two boys. They look like two boys. They didn't look like something out of a horror film. They looked like two boys that you'd see anywhere.
But they were so cold and so evil that it was nothing to them to kill somebody. How does that happen? That's what the Bible says. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. And when it's almost, and we've got an epidemic of our day of drugs. Drugs is running wild. People get hooked on that stuff, and it's amazing what they'll do to get more stuff. I was talking to a guy this week. Somebody broke in. It was down in Texas. Broke into a plant down there where they make E1 ambulances. Jacked up 9 ambulances and stole the wheels and tires. I was thinking, why in the world would anybody want to do all that work to steal 9 ambulances, wheels and tires? He says, you just don't know a drug head, do you? They'll do anything to make money to go get more drugs. I've changed a few tires. And an ambulance wheel and tire would be really, 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 really heavy. But a man would do that just so he can get another fix. And that's what that evilness just continually desires more evil and continually desires more evil and continually desires more evil. Verse number 11, and I'm done for tonight. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise, and when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. And that's just plain truth. I want to be the one that receives knowledge. I want to be the one that's desiring to know the mind of God. I don't want to see the chastising hand. I don't want to be on the punishing side of that thing. So verse 11 is just plain truth. So, hey man, what'd you learn tonight? Tony Rupert's in trouble. So, but I about bet you it's not the first time. And it won't be the last. There you go. All right, let's close our Bibles and look up here.